Okay. I'm going to invite you to turn with me in to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. I normally put this up on the screen for you, so if you didn't come with your Bibles because you're expecting it to be on the screen, my apologies. If you have Bible on your phone, grab out your phone. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 35 and 36. Says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We live in an instant society. Whether it's microwave, whether it's drive-through, instant noodles, instant coffee, instant this, instant that. We want it and we want it now. Don't make me wait. Right? That may be the society that we live in, but it's not the kingdom of God. Some of you have discovered that. See, the kingdom of God does not operate according to the timetables of man. We wish that it did, but it doesn't. It's a kingdom with a king. And he rules times and seasons. So it speaks here of the need for confidence and the need for endurance that we might receive. That suggests to me that there is some waiting involved in receiving. I know, you weren't going to say amen there, were you? Who's discovered that when you get a hold of a promise of God that there is waiting involved in receiving? Yep. I see some people with two hands up. That tells me a lot. The waiting that we're involved in is not a passive waiting. It's not a sitting back, folding our arms and saying, oh, well, I guess someday it might turn up. No, the waiting that God has for us is a waiting of entwining, where we entwine with him and we entwine with the promise that he has given us. So that promise becomes part of who we are. And that's many times why there is that wait period between us asking and us receiving. Because God just doesn't want sport little brats going around going, gimme, 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 now. He wants us to grow into his likeness. And the whole process of waiting means that we have to push in, we have to lay hold of, and the promise that's in the book has to become a promise in our heart. And who's discovered that that's a process? Yeah, there's a few nods. Part of the process, unfortunately, is dealing with an enemy who is a thief. And that enemy comes to rob, to kill, to destroy, to maim. He does not have good intent. And it speaks here of two things that he will attack in our life, because there are two things that we need if we're going to receive the promise. The first one is confidence. Who's found that shaken a bit this year? Our confidence. Is God really going to come through? Will this turn out? The whole feeling of, I don't know what this is going to look like. 2020 has been a year of walking in the dark. And it's like every other year, you know, I started in January, I made my decisions about what I was going to do this year, and I did them. This year, by the time we got to February, March, it was like, throw it out the window. Who knows what this year is going to look like? If there's one thing I believe that has been shaken for a lot of people this year, it's the whole area of confidence. Is God really going to come through for them? I believe the Lord wants to say to some hearts this morning a big, resounding yes. God has not changed. Our circumstances may have changed. What we're facing may have changed. There may be some shaking and there may be some issues of trust that we've had to deal with. But God is still God and God is still good. I've heard two amens. Great. Back in Hebrews 3 verse 6, it says, hold fast your confidence and rejoicing of hope till the end. Hold fast. If you've got to hold something fast, that means somebody wants it. Somebody's in danger of taking it from you. See, your confidence is not something that is just, oh, well, I'll have it if I want it. No, it's something that the devil wants to take from you because your confidence is a key ingredient to you receiving. And I love when in chapter 3, you can have a look at it later if you want, 3 verse 6, it talks about holding fast your confidence and the rejoicing of hope. Do you know hope rejoices?
Yes.
When you've got hope, you've got a lightness to your step, you've got a song in your heart, you can hear somebody that's got hope. You get round them and there's just a bubbliness about them. You know that person has got hope. Have you lost your song this year? Is there still the rejoicing of hope happening in your life? Or has there been a thief that's been draining it from you? Like a slow leak of oil from a car. You don't deal with that, you'll seize the engine. When we don't deal with the slow leak of joy from our life, what happens is we get to the stage where we seize up because we have no joy, we have no song, we have no hope. God does not want that for his people. Let's be a people who rejoice with hope. That's number one. Number two, looking back in Hebrews 10 here, the second thing that it talks about is endurance. And everybody's going, ugh. But it's in there for a reason. Who's discovered that it's not a 100-yard sprint? We are in a marathon. Who's run a marathon? John, yay, go John. I have not run a marathon, but I do know that the runner gets to the stage where they hit a wall and it feels like they cannot go any further. But there is something that happens when they get through that. They get their second wind. And I believe that there's many in the body of Christ that have like hit a wall this year. And God's saying it's time for you to pick up the wind of the Spirit because that is your second wind. And that is what you are to start to run in. God's called us to run, not be those who go, oh, this is far too hard, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines and watch others pass by. That is not God's heart for us. Let's get our second wind. Let's not forget who we are. Who we are is God's kids. Who we are is ones who can declare, I can do all things. Now, we usually stop there and go, well, that's not true. I've tried. I've discovered plenty I can't do. But the problem is we only read half a verse. And we condemn ourselves because we find that we can't do some things. We find it's too hard. We go, oh, I can't do all things. I'm hopeless. I'm not going to make it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If he strengthens me, that suggests that I need strengthening. And I'd like to suggest that you probably do too. Ephesians talks about being strengthened with might by his Spirit on the inner man. His Holy Spirit lives in you. Why? Because God knows you can't do it by yourself. He says, that's okay. Let me do it in you and through you. Don't give up on what God has got for you. If you have found this year a hard year, realize that it's time to get your second wind. But you're going to need two things. You're going to need to receive and have confidence. Well, how do you get that? Being with the one who's confident. When we're with him, we feel like we can take on the world. Because he's an overcomer. If you don't feel like you have confidence, be around the confident one. His name's Jesus. And he wants you to have the confidence that says, I will make it. I will overcome because God is with me. Second thing, endurance. Don't give up on the way to victory. There's only a prize if you cross the finish line. Don't give up on your way to victory. And some of you need to hear that this morning. You're running the race and God's saying, yes, you feel like you've hit a wall. I am your second wind. I am the one who will take you through. But you have need of endurance. You have need of saying, God, I'm not giving up because you said you would take me through. Ray Love, do you?
Goodness, my God showed up this morning. I had no idea what she was preaching, and she stole half my sermon. So that's all right. That means God showed up. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. God is still on the throne. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in. You're not alone. Something like that. Those of you who know the song better than I do. The point is, it's always too soon to quit. I really felt God speak to me during the week about preaching on the good soldier. And it's all about endurance. So she's already quoted all the scriptures that I was going to use. amazing, really. I really believe God wants to encourage some people this morning. Or he wouldn't have did a double whammy, you know. It's like I was supposed to be preaching and panted. Look, I really think I've got something I need to share first. I said, that's okay. So, obviously we were both supposed to be preaching. But, God really cares about you. And he cares when he sees his kids going through the waiting, but without the joy, because without the joy, you're not gonna survive the waiting. You know, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured. And if you haven't got joy, you're not going to endure whatever it is you're going through right now. So you've always got to have your hope fixed on something in the future. Jesus, the hope that Jesus had his hope fixed on us, and that was the joy that he was looking forward to. But he couldn't have done the cross without the joy. Because the joy of the Lord's your strength. And you're not going through without joy. You're not going to make it without strength. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the grace. The grace. The divine enabling. It's not in us, thank God, it's in Him. So sometimes I'm facing something and I think, I can't do that. And God says, good, but finish it. You can't, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who strengthens me. The grace is God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can get you out of bed on a Monday morning. Yes. Hallelujah. I am more than equal to anything that confronts me today. More than equal to anything that comes my way. Because I have within me the Spirit of the living Christ. And I'm strong in the grace. What does that mean? Let the weak say I'm strong. I know how feeble I am as a human being. Paul says we all fail. We all make mistakes. The Old Testament says there's not a righteous man on earth who does not sin. We all make mistakes. But a righteous man falls down 6 times. But he gets up 7. You know what makes you a righteous man? A, the blood of Jesus. But 2, getting up just 1 more time, then you fall down. That's all you got to do. You're going to fall down. You're going to fail every once in a while. And that's okay. That's being part of this side of the rainbow. Nobody's perfect in lifestyle and in living and in morality until we get to the other side. That's when God totally gives us a brand new body. You know, and we just, man, I'm spending the first 1,000 years just doing intergalactic star travel. I am so looking forward. You love science fiction movies? You ain't seen nothing. I've got a joy set before me. Hey, this is real. This is real. You think this is pretty. You think the planet is good. This is just a foretaste of things to come. Oh, oh, man, have we got a joy set before us. But you know, it's not just about all what's over the other side. It's about right now. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and the very best that life has to offer. He wants us to enjoy it now. It's a quality of life. It's not just eternal forever and ever and ever. It's a quality. It's something Jesus said. If you would ask me, I would give you living waters. Living waters shall flow out of your belly. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Joy unspeakable. You know those old Methodist hymns that some of you were raised on? Full of glory. When they were written, they were anyway. I'll never forget, you know, my old Methodist days when I was a young teenager, sitting behind all these old ladies, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thought, oh, dear God, I hope I don't ever sound like that. Well, guess what? I'm starting to sound like that. But it's still full of glory. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. How many of you get Joseph Prince's email? There's a daily email comes out. 1 or 2 of you? Okay. So I'd encourage you to sign up for that. And, you know, after a while, it's kind of like, you know, forgive me, Lord, but it's like, oh, yeah, I've heard that before, ho-hum, you know. But I always at least just skim read it. If I don't feel like I've got time, I always just at least skim read it. And the other day I was skim reading through and it was like, God is for you. I said, yeah, I know that. And I felt the Lord say, no, read it again. Read it. God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And you know, we constantly need to be reminded of some of these basic truths. God is for us. He's not against us. And some of you, you know, you don't even know it, but in the back of your thinking, you still think God is angry with you. You still think He's not pleased with your performance. It's not about what you did. It's about what Jesus did. He did it for you. This was really brought home to me when my kids said to me one day, Dad, whenever you come up the stairs, thump, thump, Goliath, I'm coming up the stairs. I remember Amy saying, the first thing I think is, oh, here comes Dad, what haven't I done? Have I finished the dishes? Have I vacuumed the carpet? Have I put the toys away or whatever? But her confession to me was, Dad, the first thing I think of when I hear you coming is, what haven't I done? Now, what a terrible legacy to leave your children. Here comes Dad, what haven't I done? Well, thankfully, I'm a different dad now. I've been transformed by the message of grace, the person of Jesus Christ, and I'm learning to love mercy. I'm really, really learning, forgive me if I'm not perfect, but I'm learning to love mercy. And some of us, we think, here comes God, what haven't I done? Where don't I measure up? Have I prayed this week? Have I read my Bible this week? Have I loved my kids? Have I been good enough at my job? Have I kept my promises? You know, we've got this list that we work through. That's called the law. The you ought to. The you should have. You didn't. Why didn't you? You know, all these things, you're not good enough. You're not measuring up. Here comes Dad, and it's not about what I haven't done. It's all about what he's done. Here comes Dad. What's he done for me? Oh, he hung on a tree and he gave his life that I might have everything I could ever need, this side of the rainbow and that. And I am so grateful that I can be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ and not in my own strength. Well, we'll see how far we go here. My wife and I thought we'd do a bit of tag preaching this morning. I don't know if I need my glasses. I type my messages out now in size 14 font so I can read it without glasses. But even then, I'm starting to feel like I need my glasses. God, rebuke my unbelief. Jesus, hallelujah, healing in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you about the good soldier. In 1 Peter 5:9, it says, be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, secure you, strengthen you, and establish you. You know, there's the thought that we do have an enemy. We do have an enemy. And he roams about the earth seeking whom he may devour. Now, he just can't devour anybody he wants to. He has to get permission. And the only way you give him permission to exercise his dominion in your life basically is to try and do things in your own strength, is to not be abiding in Christ and his strength, and the grace that he provides. My grace is sufficient for you, one day at a time. It's all you need. As the day, so shall your strength be. This has not been an easy year for people. Some people have struggled, lost jobs, struggled with certain infirmities. And, if we allow these things to get inside us and start to affect our walk with the Lord and the promises that he's given us, if we stop believing them, then, you know, that's how the devil can steal from us. He's after the word. As a word is sown, the parable of the sower went out to sow. And, you know, and it says, as soon as the word was sown, the devil comes to try and steal the word. So God gives you a promise. He gives you hope for a situation. Straight away, someone will come and say, oh, that's you'll never get that. You'll never be good enough to do that. You'll never get married. You'll never be able to make that business work. You'll never be able to get healed. You know, Aunt so-and-so, she died of that, and so did Granddad, and so did your mother. You're going to die of that too. You know, there'll be someone out there, because words can impart life or they can impart death, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. You hang around people with the wrong words, you'll pay a price for it. It's for somebody. And so, you know, We've just got to know how to hang on to the promises of God in the middle of a very trying year and very difficult circumstances. You ever play that game, Where's Wally? It's kind of like a puzzle or a picture thing. Do you know what I mean? And there's all these people and there's all this busyness and all these activities, and the picture's absolutely jam-packed with activities and people and faces. And it's, where's Wally? Somewhere in there is Wally, and you got to find him. Where's Jesus in all this? And all the goings on and all the tribulation and all the trials and all the difficulties, where's Jesus in all this? You got to find him. You got to find him and fix your hope on him, because you can be easily distracted by everything else that's going on. Don't lose sight of Jesus in the middle of what's going on. And the problem that I face is impossible only to the degree that I remove God from my situation. Because he said, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So whatever problem you're facing right now is only impossible to the degree that you remove God from the equation. My strongest advice to you is that you do not do that. Get out of bed in the morning, put both feet on the floor and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to walk with me today. I want God in my day. Hallelujah. You know, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they camped around the tabernacle in the wilderness. They had the tabernacle in the middle and all the tribes camped around the presence. Keep talking to God throughout the day. Let him be part of every situation that you face. Walk with him. Walk with me, Lord. Hallelujah. So it's been a challenging year for most, but God knew it was coming, and he knew the challenges that we would have to face this year. I have to believe that God prepared an answer before the problem even showed up. Because the Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was a problem, God had an answer. That's the kind of God we serve. Did you get that? Jesus was slain before, not after. You didn't get into a mess and God says, oh, gee, how are we going to fix this problem? Okay, we're going to have to do this and this. No. God knows your thoughts. Not a word is on your tongue that God doesn't know it beforehand. Amazing. Jesus was slain before. And before you had a problem, God had an answer. So, you know, you don't have to go to God, oh, God, guess what happened today? Guess what sort of a mess I'm in? God, you're not going to believe this. God, I'm sorry. God knew all about your sin long before you confessed it. And he had a solution long before you ever fell into the pit of despair and found yourself in a problem that was so great you thought you were never going to come out of that. So you come to God boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. You can come boldly because God's got nothing against you. Absolutely nothing. He put it all away. Slate wiped clean. You're his favorite child. He can't wait for you to show up. If you can't come boldly, you're not walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here I am, God. Guess what? I got a problem. Well, let me see. What have I got on the shelf over here? I had this one all sorted out about 10,000 years ago, I saw this one coming. And it's got today's date on it. You've just showed up at the right time. This has got today's date on it, but it was actually packaged 10,000 years ago. What did you say your problem was? Here is the perfect answer. Already. good to go. Hallelujah. You know, there are angels who have been assigned to us as ministering spirits. And the Bible says that they ascend heaven from the earth. They ascend and they descend. They ascend first because they're taking our praise and our worship with our prayer requests. And then they come back with the answers. You know, even angels were ministering to Jesus. If he needed angels, I guess maybe you need an angel too. I don't know. Maybe you're more capable than Jesus. But even Jesus needed ministering spirit, ministering angels. So, you know, you've got ministering angels. And, you know, you've got racks and racks of provision in the heavenly pantry. And the angels are sitting up there, their arms folded, saying, "When do I get to be the delivery boy? You have not, cause you ask not." Ooh, wakey, wakey. Now, sometimes we ask and we don't receive because there's a time of waiting. And that's what Pam was talking about this morning. And, you know, it's during the time of waiting that there's the proving of our faith. I like what you said about God just doesn't want a whole lot of gimme gimmies. He's more interested in shaping our character than he is in giving us the toys. I really liked that. And it's in the waiting that we become the promise. We just don't get the answer. We become the Word. The Word made flesh. I really like that. And you know, when that happens, you're able to give to others as you have received, because you have become the provision of God. I mean, that was a powerful thought. I'd never seen that. I got my own preacher on tap. She preaches to me all the time at home. I'm a blessed man. Okay, so I've got distracted a little bit there, but it was good, wasn't it? Somebody say amen. Yes. All right, so God's always one step ahead of the devil. Turn your neighbor and say, God's always one step ahead of the devil. We're good. We're okay. Nothing takes God by surprise. And your future is as bright as the promises of God. You got to remember that. But you know, living in the here and now, walking the walk, talking the talk, living the life, sometimes we need to address the reality that sometimes life can be really tough. Or we create a false narrative for young Christians. And when life isn't all lollipops and Disney, they think, well, this isn't what I signed up for, and they quit. So we have a responsibility, actually, to let people know when they become Christians, and to remind those of us who have been Christians for a while, that the Bible says it is through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. Now, I know this isn't your favorite verse. You probably haven't got that up on the wall of your lounge or above the mirror, but it is there. It is through much tribulation, much pressure, much trial. But the proving of your faith will come forth as gold. See, God's more interested in character. And sometimes it's not until the pressure's on. I'm not saying God's responsible for the trials and tribulations, but he'll use anything to his advantage. And your faith will come forth as gold. You know, I remember meeting people from communist country and underground China and other places and at different meetings, and they get up and they speak. And they just talk about their faith in Christ. You know they've been tried. You know where they've been. And they come forth as gold, you know. Every word is dripping with testimony, was dripping with assurance that God is with them, because they have been in situations, you know, we are so blessed here, people. We've got no idea. So anyway, where was I? Help me, Jesus. Yeah. So I think I remember when my brother Gil, I led my brother Gil to the Lord about 45 years ago, and he's got his 60th birthday today, and I've got to leave church fairly early. Forgive me if I disappear, but I've got to get ready for his 60th birthday celebration. But I remember leading him to the Lord 45 years ago. He was a dental school student, and the Holy Ghost was convicting him, and I said, well, I'm not sure if you're ready. And he says, no, I really want to get saved. And I says, no, you don't know what it means, you know. He says, you know, I'm a church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, there's a midweek meeting, there's a prayer meeting, young people's on Saturday night. You got to get up 6 o'clock in the morning. I was a bit of a legalist back then. You got to read your Bible, you know, for an hour every morning. And people aren't going to like you. You know, you're going to have to stop all this pub crawl stuff, you know. You forget the pubs, mate. Well, that's got to go. Your social life has come to an end. It's pretty negative. But I read him the fine details at the end of the contract. A lot of people don't read the whole contract. They just read all the, you know, we promised this and this and this, but they don't read the fine details at the end. Have you ever read the fine details of some of those contracts? Like if you're loaning a car, when I bought that Mazda that I've got out there, I came across the bottom of the contract. I think I actually wrote it down here. Where did I put? Yeah. Right at the bottom of the contract, in small fine print, it said, you enter this contract on the understanding that all rights and privileges afforded to you, as outlined in this agreement, may be waived at the discretion of the company. In other words, you got this contract. And I said to the guy, I said, what am I signing this for when it says quite plainly that you don't even have to keep your side of the bargain? What sort of a contract is that? Nothing outlined in this agreement, everything outlined in this agreement may be waived, in other words, just put aside, at the discretion of the company. Thank God I got a covenant with God that's nothing like that. All his words are yea and amen. Yes, amen. Eh? And he bled on a cross and he shed his blood, signed it in his blood. It's like, on my life, I will keep this covenant with you. Yes. You can count on me to keep my side of the bargain. And it even says, and if you are faithless, if you are faithless, God is faithful. If you don't keep your end, he's still going to keep his end because he cannot deny himself. Amen. So God says, even if you break up with me, I'm not breaking up with you. It's pretty hard to get rid of God once you've got him. Hallelujah. So I said to the guy when I bought the car, I said, have you read this? Is this you read that and tell me what you think it means. And he says, I've never read that. He's only been working there for, 5 years, asking me to sign a contract that he hasn't even read. And he says, but this is just, they're all like this. The next time you buy a car or rent a car, you look at the last line. You don't read the contracts, do you? No, you just sign them. You've got no idea what you've signed your life away to, have you? But you know, we have a responsibility to let people know what the fine print is. Okay, if you're signing up to be a Christian, here's the fine print. You're going to have to be as tough as a soldier, yes, as disciplined as an athlete, yes, and as hardworking as a farmer, yes, if you're going to make this work. Yes. Now, that's the small print. Sorry. Everybody said, yes, amen. Oh, we created so much excitement in this happy church this morning. But you see, you are going to hit a wall at some point in your Christian experience. You are going to find life is not easy. You're going to have some difficult days. Sorry, that's just the truth. You are going to feel like giving up. Sorry, has anybody here never, ever felt like giving up? Let me see your hand. Oh, well, you haven't been saved long enough, mate. Okay, you're brand new. We'll give you another couple of years, buddy. Good on you, mate. I'm so proud of you. You are amazing. Andrew comes 8 o'clock every Sunday morning and helps us set up. That's what builds the kingdom. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt like giving up, Derek? You have? Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, we all have. Even Andrew has. We've all felt like giving up, all right? So, but you see, if you say, oh, Jesus said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. I've come to give you the best life that ever could be. And so you're just lollipops in Disneyland. And then when something happens that really cuts deep or hurts you, or you suffer a loss or you lose a job or you go through a difficult season, the Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind, to gird up, pull your mind together, understand that there are going to be difficulties and we need to have the mentality of a soldier if we're going to be able to go through some of these difficult, trying situations. So I don't want to depress anybody this morning by reading out the fine print, but I didn't think it would hurt us just to have a look at the fine print this morning because it's here, it's in the Bible. So, oh, I didn't finish talking about Gil. He's still saved. He's still serving God because I read him the fine print. And he said, yeah, I know. I've been watching you for years. I know what it's going to cost me. Jesus said, if you'd be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. Now, we don't all hang on a cross and bleed to death. No, but Jesus is saying it's going to cost you something. It is going to cost you your life. It might cost you your independence. It might cost you your willfulness. It might cost you a relationship with somebody. Whatever comes between you and God, that's what it's going to cost you. And, you know, Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother and your father, your brother, your sister. Now, what was he saying? Of course he wants us to love our parents and love our family, but he's saying, if you love them more than you love me, forget it. You're not going to make it. I've got to be the first in your life. You're the first and last, and everywhere in between. You're the one true source of life. You have touched my soul. Only you could know. You're my one delight. He just wants everything. That's all. He just wants to be everything because he wants to be everything to you. And you get as much of Jesus as you're prepared to give him. Hallelujah. Well, God doesn't feel very real to me. Well, do you feel very real to him? Just a thought. All right, that's good preaching, Pastor. Is this helping anybody or am I just depressing everybody so we've got to pick everybody up? We hold the altar call and pick everybody up off the carpet, you know. All right, let's just get through these. Let's just get through some of these points here. Okay, so if we read 2 Timothy 2:3, did I read you that? Did I not? Have you got a Bible? 2 Timothy. Let me just... I know, Pam, I know you still have some things you want to share, don't you? Just some words of knowledge. Well, okay, well, we want to leave time for those. Where's 2 Timothy? After Thessalonians. 2 Timothy, it's helpful. 2 Timothy is after 1 Timothy. And so Paul says to Timothy, chapter 2, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've learned from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Now, I know Paul is talking to Timothy, who's in the ministry, and this is especially true for if you think God's called you to any kind of ministry, Timothy's your book. But this is true for everybody, really, but especially ministers of the gospel. But this is for everybody. You must endure hardship. Is that one of your favorite verses? Is that above your mirror that you look at every morning? It's not one you've memorized. It's going to catch up to you. It's going to catch up to you. It's in here for a reason. Okay? You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And then towards the end there, Paul says, I've run my race. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And he talked about all his trials and tribulations. He says, none of these things move me. What moves you? Do you know people who have been moved by trials and tribulations? And they haven't run the race to the end. They haven't kept the faith. They've given up the fight. Do you know anybody like that? Paul says, none of these things move me. Why? Because he read the fine print before he signed the contract. He knew what he was getting into. And if you're going through a difficult time, let me just say to you, this is normal for the Christian life. Now, we go through with joy because we have this promise set before us and we have this hope. And we're not like the world who go through difficult situations without hope. No, we maintain our joy. We maintain our life in Christ. And we press on through and we come out the other end victorious and we're the better for it. But Jesus says, no temptation has taken you, no test, no trial, but such as is common to man. There's nothing wrong with you. You are not unusual. This is the norm. But such as is common. But God will, with the trial, with the temptation, with the difficulty, give you a way not of escape. That's a bad translation. He will show you how to go through it. He'll show you how to go through it. You'll get through it. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you'll get through. The word says you'll get through. So Paul gives three illustrations. The soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. And all of them have a common point of perseverance. Paul talked about I was going to talk about that. I've never done a marathon, but I've done 16 miles. I was training for a marathon till I found out that marathons are run on Sunday. And I'm not saying, John, you're doing the wrong thing by running on a Sunday, but I just knew I was going to be a pastor. And so I would have to be here. I didn't have a choice. So at that point, but I've hit that wall. I know what it's like. John knows what it's like. You hit that wall and you feel like every fiber in your body is screaming, stop, stop, let me rest. And right now, some of you are at that point where every fiber in your body is screaming, I have to have a rest. And sometimes you do have to have a rest, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, if you're in a race, there's a time when you just have to keep on, keeping on. And it's amazing. I don't know where, you just get a second breath of, everything just kind of, like, you feel light again, you feel like you can breathe easy. And you just get that resurge of energy. It's just amazing. Hallelujah. So there's strength on the other side of the wall. But you won't. A lot of people give up. They don't persevere long enough to get to that point, that breakthrough point. There's a breakthrough coming. I'm here to tell you, there's a breakthrough coming. If you won't give up, if you will endure the pain like a good runner, like a good soldier, if you will endure, you will go through. You will come through triumphant. But the trying of your faith has to be there. Don't give up. I have great confidence in you. So just quickly, 7 points about the soldier. I'm not going to do the runner and I'm not going to do the farmer. I'm just going to do the soldier. How are we going for time? Do you want me to finish this next Sunday? I don't know. We could have a vote, but we don't do that in this church. Let's pray in tongues for a minute, because I could finish this next Sunday If people show up, I could finish it next Sunday. How much more can you take? That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? I am being encouraging. I think I've answered my own question. You know what? I don't think I've ever started a message that didn't become a series. So why break my habit now? I'll finish this next Sunday. But I just, because I want to give time for prayer and for Pam with her words of knowledge, and also I just wanted to share my own word of knowledge first, darling, then I'll hand over to you. I saw women washing nets on the shoreline after the men had been fishing. They didn't have much to show for the catch and plenty of weeds to sort out, but they were happy singing and doing their thing. Jesus told the disciples to cast the nets to the other side, and when they did, they got a huge catch. There is always the other side to any down experience. And because we serve a loving God, that other side is always good. There is always hope on the other side of any loss or the long night of nothing. I want us to sing that song, He's in the Waiting. And then maybe you should share your words of knowledge first. Then we'll sing that song, He's in the Waiting. Okay. And then we'll pray for people, because, you know, we want to encourage you to endure, to go through, to keep on keeping on. I'm done.
Cool. Yeah, just had a word of knowledge about pain on the left leg, sort of this area. I don't know if it applies to anyone. Put your hand up if you have. Nope. Just on your left leg, sort of in this part. No? Right leg will do. Okay, I'll pray for you.
Okay. The Lord actually gave me a couple of visuals this morning. First one's a pencil. And I felt like He wanted to encourage some people here that it's time to write the next chapter. And I felt like it was a pencil rather than a pen, because there's an eraser on the end. And I believe that He wanted to encourage some people to just start writing, because you can erase it if you need to. And some of you, there's some things that you've got in your heart, but you don't have the courage to write them down or to own them. And God's saying, I want you to own them, I want you to write them, and I want you to bring clarity to them. And just start dreaming, start writing, and start believing. And as you go, God will give you the greater details and show you the bits that need to be erased and changed. So I believe that's for somebody here. Then He gave me a button. So I brought along a big button. Button has little purpose unless it's attached. And I really feel like there is some people here where you have got, you're a connector. And God wants to use you to connect people. But unless a button is attached, its purpose is limited. And I believe that there's some people that God wants to encourage that you need to become part of family. You need to connect. You need to belong. Because in doing so, you will be able to function in the gifting that God has for you. Third one, I definitely haven't brought with me. It's a giraffe. But I saw the giraffe that there's the ability to see over fences. And I believe that the Lord's saying to some people here, you are like a giraffe. You can see long distance and you can see far. The other thing with the giraffe is that giraffes are made to eat from the high places. And I saw this giraffe standing with its legs spread and it was trying to eat the grass. And I believe that the Lord's wanting to say to some people here, it's time to start eating from the high places. Don't eat from the low. Eat from the high. Because as you do, God is going to have you start to look and to see and to receive. Because as you feed from on high, you'll start to see things from on high. So I believe that's for some people here this morning. Then the last one that I saw was I saw a bottle, and I didn't bring it as well because I saw the bottle tipped over, and I saw it as a bottle that you couldn't see into, and it's only when you start to pour it out that you see the contents. And I believe that for some people here, it's like you've gone through some situations that have knocked the bottle over, and what's starting to come out of the bottle is not all that good. It's like, ugh, junk and that. God wants to clean out the bottle and refill it. And to me, it's a picture of going through some situations and discovering that the stuff that's coming out of you that you know is not good. And God's saying, that's fine. Let's deal with it. Let's clean out the bottle. Let's deal with those issues, because there's always going to be times in life where the bottle is going to be knocked over, where you're going to be impacted. You're going to have what is on the inside of you come and be seen by others. And God wants to do a cleansing work and remove some of those things that have been hindering you. So Ray's going to come and come back to that